Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erev and Daf Samach Zayin. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lederer in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Ari and Rachi Mirzoff, the Zecher Nishmas, Lili Nishmas, from Moshe Chaim ben Rav Avram Abba. Their grandfather's yard site is Chaf Zayin Tishrei, the Nisham Shev and Aliyah. And also sponsored by Zev Belsky, the Zecher Nishmas Malka Bas Zev, his grandmother whose yard site is today. Neshama Shev and Aliyah, we thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on the very top of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, and we're smack in the middle of a sugya. So the first thing we're going to do is finish up the sugya that we were right in the middle of yesterday about two chatzero zelef nimizeh, and one of the members of one of the chatzer forgot to join in the Eruv. So is there anything you could do about that? Then the Gemara is going to raise two questions that Rav Chista asked Rav Sheish about Bittul Rishus. As a hakdama to that, the Gemara is going to tell us just how impressed Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes were with each other, but then we're going to get into some of the details that they asked each other, that Rav Chista asked Rav Sheshes relating to Bittul Rishus, and that takes up the majority of Amud Aleph. And then at the end of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to discuss what would make a Nachri a resident of a Chatzer or a Mavoy if he also has a Pesach that goes out somewhere else. Can you say that, no, he's not really a resident of the Mavoy, because maybe that other Pesach, that other area that his house opens up to, is really his primary area. So we're going to discuss some of those details. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the status of a karpef, whether a karpef always has a din of a karmelis, if there are any exceptions to that rule. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to have one of the most well-known sugyas in Masech Seirvin, Ishtapa Chamime, the sugya of what happens when warm water that you're prepared for a baby, for his bris milah, spills out on Shabbos, and you don't have an Erev to bring warm water from somewhere else. So how do you get the warm water from another house in the Chatzar when there's no Erev to be able to help this baby who has to go through a Bris Milah on Shabbos? That's going to be the last sugya on the daf that goes into tomorrow's daf a little bit. So let's begin. We're holding at the very top of the page on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, and what we're commenting on is that Rava had said, unlike Abaye, Rava had said that if you have shtei chatzeros zulef nimizu, you have two chatzeros, and you have an inner chatzer that has a dris saregel through the outer chatzer. So Rava had said pa'amim mevatlin u'pa'amim ein mevatlin, that there's not a universal din. If sometimes they can be mevatel rishus to each other, and sometimes they cannot be mevatel rishus to each other. So he was discussing every permutation. What if the eruv was placed in the outer chatzer? What if, and within that, what if a member of the outer chatzar forgot to join in the Erev, or what if a member of the inner chatzar forgot to join in the Erev? And then, what if the Erev was actually placed in the inner chatzar? And then within that, if it was placed in the inner chatzar, what if a member of the inner chatzar forgot to join in the Erev? So all of those three cases we discussed yesterday. But now, the case that we were most interested in, which is that Erev is in the inner of the two chatzeros, but shachach echad min achitzona velo Erev, one of the members of the outer chatzar forgot to join in the Erev, so then vaday pnimus muteres, then for sure the people in the inner chatzar are muter. Why? Da'ach todasha u'mishtamsha, because they could just close their door and use their chatzar, meaning they don't have a problem. They have an Erev in their chatzar, every member of their chatzar joined in that Erev. The only problem is a fellow in the outer chatzar who didn't join, so close it off, lock it up. The outer chatzar is not going to be part of their cheshbon anymore, and they can now carry within their chatzar. V'chitzona asura, but the outer chatzar is going to be asur. Now the fact that the pnimis can do this is because the members of the inner chatzar can tell the members of the outer chatzar, why did we make an eruv with you? To be beneficial to us, to help us. Right now, this eruv, the fact that we joined together with you is causing us problems because one of your members is a problem. But the pnimas can only do this by being mevatel, by the b'nei chitzona being mevatel their rishus to the Bnei Pnimus. And then the Bittul Rishus is going to work Michatzel L'Chatzer. But that's all if one of the members of the Outer Chatzer forgot to make the Erev. If one of the members of the Inner Chatzer forgot to make the Erev, the Pnimus cannot say that it's being mistalik from the Shutfus with the Chitzona, and then be Mevatel their Rishus to the Chitzona, because since they are the cause of the one of the Bnei Pnimus was the cause, they can't make any taina against the members of the Adr Chatzar. So I'm there, Rufun, Rabbi Rav Yishua, L'Rava, V'chishach Chacham Rav Pnimus V'lo Erev, Amai Shtei and Asuros. If one of the members of the Pnimus didn't make an Erev, well, wait a second, why is that necessarily a problem? Just because they Asra on the Chitzona through their Drisa Saregel that they have, and they can't be Mevatel because there's no Bittul Rishos Michatzal L'Chatzar, isn't there a simple solution? Liftel Haibar Pnimus, Libnei Pnimus. Have this guy from the inner chatzer be mevatel to the other members of the inner chatzer, v'teisi chitzona v'tishri ba'adayu, and then it should be mutter for the chitzona to join with the inner chatzer, even though they were not mevatel, even though the guy was not mevatel his rishus to the chitzona itself. It's good enough that he's mevatel rishus to the other b'nei pnimis. The b'nei pnimis are already joined with the b'nei chitzona, so it should be automatically fine as soon as he's mevatel rishus to his own neighbors. So says Gemara, nah, Kiman, you're asking that question assuming like who? Kerabi Eliezer, Damarein Rotzar Chavat L'Rishus L'Kal Echad V'Yachad, who assumes that you don't need to be Mevat L'Rishus to every other member that you're joined with. So yeah, so then if you'd have a good cash, so why can't the Ben Pnimus, who forgot, just be Mevat L'Rishus to the other Bnei Pnimus? Because he doesn't have to take everybody into account. Kika Aminal, the Rabbanan, but I'm talking assuming like the Rabbanan, Damri Tzarek Levat L'Kal Echad V'Yachad, and the Rabbanan assume that you need to be Mevatel Rishus to every single member. You can't be Mevatel Rishus only to the Bnei Pnimis. You need to be Mevatel to the Bnei Chitzon as well. But you can't, because they Mevatel Michatzel L'Chatzer. And that's why you would be stuck if it was one of the Bnei Pnimis who forgot to join the Erev. So that's Rava's comment, that in three out of the four cases, you're stuck. But there is Bittul Rishus that would help if it's the Erev was placed in the inner chatzer, and it was one of the members of the outer chatzer who had forgotten to join the Eruv. Period. Now we move on to the discussion between Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes relating to Bittul Rishus. So as we pointed out, there are going to be two questions that Rav Chista asks Rav Sheshes about Bittul Rishus, but just an introduction to that first, says the Gemara. Rav Chista, Rav Sheshes, ki pagi ba de adadi. When Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes would talk and learning with each other, Rav Chista maraton tzavasi masniyasad Rav Sheshes. Rav Chista's lips would shake from the bekius in Mishnayos that Rav Sheshes had. And he was choshish, Rav Sheshes, he was always worried Rav Sheshes is going to ask a stira in Mishnayos, and he's going to ask him to be metarit the stiras that he's going to ask in Mishnayos, and he's not going to know, because he knew every Mishnah. Rav Sheshes, marata kule gufe me papuli to Rav Chista, and Rav Sheshes' whole body would shake from Rav Chista's pilpul, from his charifus. So apparently that Rav Sheshes was a Sinai, and Rav Chista was an Oker Harim. They had different styles in learning, so each one was super impressed by the other one's abilities in learning. So Rashi says, like we just said, that Rav Chista was afraid that Rav Sheshes would ask, he knew so many Mishnayos, that he would ask stiras in Mishnayos, and then ask Rav Chista to be metarets those stiras. Rav Chista was nervous that he wouldn't know how to be metarets those stiras. The other Rishonim suggest that no, maybe he was just afraid that he would ask on him from Mishnah, meaning anytime he would say a Dvar Halacha, Rav Sheshes will pull up a Mishnah that goes against him. So not that he's going to ask random steers that he's not going to know the answers to, but he's going to ask on his Chidushei Torah based on Mishnayos. The Tosfos in Maseches Becharos Nachman Beis says Rav Sheshes was about Brisos, and therefore Rav Chista was very much afraid of him. Meaning not just Mishnayos and Brisos, he just had a tremendous Bekiyos. So in this works out very nicely with the Gemara Maseches Shavuos. The Gemara in Shavuos Taf Mem Aleph tells us that they said about Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes that they learned Hilchas HaSifra HaSifri Tosefta V'kula Gemara. And in the Maseches Zvachim and Daf Tzadivav, the Gemara tells us that Rav Sheshes Ki Be'ina Milsa Minei Pashat Le Mimasnisa, that Rav Sheshes, we have this knowledge about him from throughout Shas, that he was a big bucky in all of the Mishnayos and all of the Brises. That was the nature of Rav Sheshes. Some of the Achronim point out that we find that Rav Sheshes, why was he such a Baki? Was it just happens to be? We find a couple of people that were Sinais. There was Rav Sheshes and there was Rav Yosef. Why these two? Because there's something else they had in common, and that is that they were both blind. The Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Nun Ches Kiddushin Lamed Aleph. They were both blind. Both Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef were blind. So because of that, they would always be chazering over the Torah Shebal Peh because they couldn't see. They couldn't read from any svarim, so they had to adapt. The only way to be able to learn constantly, and that's why there was a greater emphasis for them on Torah Shebal Peh, because Torah Shebichsav was going to be more challenging. That's why they were experts in Targum as well. When they would learn Torah Shebichsav, it was always with Targum and not because you're not the Dvarim Shebichsav yet Harashay Lomrim Bal Peh. So in order to be able to learn, they always had to be saying things by heart. So that's why Rav Sheshes became such a great Baki. In the Igeris Rav Shirugon, he writes that the Amoraim after Rebbe needed all of the brisos because that's where they were able to delve into the allusions in the Mishnah to deeper matters, and that's where all the chidushim came from. Because in the Mishnayos, Rebbe Dafka was somewhat cryptic. He Dafka was mekatzer, and he didn't explain everything clearly. So they required a greater bekius in brisos, and that's what Rav Chista was merames from the learning of Rav Sheshes, that since you need all the brises that have all the pratim, that's why Rav Chista was so impressed and was so blown away by Rav Sheshes's bekiyas, because it was so necessary for Rav Chista to be able to learn. So now, given that that background, that this is Rav Chista, Rav Sheshes. Oh, and another point, a fascinating tshuva in the Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachos. Rav Menashe Klein explains, based on our sugya, the Gemara Maseches Brachos. The Gemara tells us that when it comes to being mitzarif, a tenth person to a minion, that Rav Huna says that if you have Tisha mi Yisrael va'aron mitzarfim, that if you have nine Jews and the Aron Kodesh, they're mitzarif to a minion. So Rav Nachman says, what? V'chi Aron Adam hu? Is the Aron a person? So Elam Rav Huna Tisha nirim kasaros mitzarif. And Rav Ami says, if you have a Shnayim v'Shabbos, then it's mitzarif l'zimun. You have two people plus Shabbos, then you have a mezuman. And Rav Nachman says, what? V'chi Shabbos Adam hu? Is Shabbos a person? The Aron's not a person. Shabbos is not a person. So rather, Rav Ami says, Shnei Talmidei Chacham mechadadim ze ba'alacha mitzarfim. That if you have two Talmidei Chacham that are talking and learning, they're mitzarif to Zimun. And Rav Chista says, yeah, like me and Rav Sheshes. And Rav Sheshes said, yeah, like me and Rav Chista, that we can be mitzarif to Zimun. The same two, Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes, each one saying, yeah, me and him, we're able to be mitzarif to Zimun. So the Tzlach asks a fundamental question. The Gemara was incredulous. Aron is a person. Shabbos is a person. And all of a sudden they talk about Chidushei Torah between them, and the Gemara never wondered, Chidushei Torah is a person. How could that make a third party for a Zimun? So Sarash writes that Pashtus is that Halacha is considered like a Shlishi, and it's the Dover Tzorach Bir, why we don't rely on this. So the Mishnah Halachas, Rav Menashe Klein suggests, what the Gemara is suggesting is that there are Malachim that are created through Talmidei Chacham that are Mechadid Zel Zeba Halacha, and those Malachim are Mitzayif L'Zimun, and that's why Rav Nachman doesn't ask V'chi Adam Hu, because they're Mitzayif the Malachim that are being created. And that's what Rav Chista says, Kigon Aniv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes can go on another Rav Chista, because each one thinks that their contribution is the primary contribution, meaning they both agree Chidush Shei Torah can be created one way or the other, either through great Bekiyus or through great Amkus, through great learning in depth. But they obviously have Machlokas about what the proper way to learn is, what the point of emphasis should be. So each one said Kigon Ana first, and also his way. So that was their way of expressing that Machlokas. In Rav Yosef Engel, in Gilyonei HaShas, he says based on this, that which Ben Azai says in Maseches Yevamos in the Sugya of Pur Ravu, that anyone who's not Osik be Pur Ravu is Kilu is Shofech Damim, and he's Mimayit HaDmos, because an Adam is B'Tzalem Elokim, so he's Mimayit the Dmos, the Tzalem Elokim. So they said to Ben Azai, Atana Adoresh Veino Mekayim, you're dashing beautifully about Pur Ravu, but you know what? You don't have children, you don't have a wife, you never got married, so how could you give these fancy drushes about Pur Ravu? So the Gemara says, Ben Azai said, Ma'es Shnafshi Chashka B'Torah. What can I do? Nafshi Chashka B'Torah. Torah became my entire life, and therefore I have nothing else. So all the Achronim raise the question, because Nafshi Chashka B'Torah is pata from mitzvahs, not just mitzvahs, the very first mitzvah, what we refer to as a mitzvah rabba. He's going to be pata from that, because Nafshi Kasher Chashka B'Torah. So that's what Rav Yosef Engel says, that he's Mekayim through his Limud Torah, a form of Pruravu and a form of Leshevas Yitzara, because the halachas that he's Mechadish through his Limud Torah are like his children, like our Gemara says, like the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, that Tamid Chadim Zel Zeba Halacha is Chashuvim Kishlosha, that's considered like a third person, that it actually has a halachic status of a person. Perhaps, says Rav Yosef Engel, because it enhances Yeshuva Shalolam, and that's the whole point. The pasuk in Navi Yeshaya tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the mitzvah of Pur Ravu, or the Mishnah Gittin, based on the pasuk in Navi Yeshaya, tells us that the whole purpose of Pur Ravu is L'Shavis Yitzara. Now, the way the Rishonim understand it is that that's not just a description of the purpose of Pur Ravu, but an actual separate obligation, that there's an obligation of Pur Ravu and a separate obligation to populate the world. But the pashtus of the Mishnah is that it's a description of why we have Pur Ravu. So if a person is able to Shavas Yitzara in other ways, that might be a partial Kiyama Mitzvah of Puravu. That's how the Achronim explain. A woman is Pater from Puravu. So is there anything that binds a woman to have children? So if you look at the Balei Atosos, Meseches Gittin, Meseches Babasa, at the beginning of Meseches Chagiga, they seem to assume that a woman is Chayiv in this separate mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah called Lasheves Yitzara, to populate the world, that it's somewhat independent of the mitzvah of Puravu. Okay, so now that we know what Rav Chisna and Rav Shesh has thought of each other, so now let's get to their actual conversation. So question number one. By me, Rav Chisna and Rav If you have two houses that are located on two sides of the Rosh Hasharabim, that are owned by different people, there's no way you can carry from one house to the other. You have to go through Rosh Hasharabim. You can't carry from Rosh Hasiach to Rosh Hasharabim. But then, Nachrim came and they built mechitzos running across the Rosh Hasharabim on either side of the houses on Shabbos. So now there's the area between the houses is surrounded by mechitzos. So Samahu, can they be mevatel rishus to each other so that they can now carry from one house to the other? So we learned on yesterday's daf that you have machlok Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. If you have two chatzeros that have a pesach in between them and they didn't make an eruv between them, can the members of one chatzer be mevatel rishus in their chatzer to the members of the other chatzer in order to allow carrying from one to the other? So Shmuel says, no, you cannot be mevatel rishus mechatzer lechatzer, because the chatzeros don't aser on each other. And any chatzer that doesn't aser on each other, if each one can function independently with their own independent eruv, then you can't be mevatel rishus. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan disagreed, and he said that even though they don't aser on each other, you're able to be mevatel rishus. So now the Gemara says, let's explain Rav Chista Safik over here. Aliba demandi amar ein bitl rishus mechatzer lechatzer. If you assume, like Shmuel, that there's no bitl rishus from one chatzer to another chatzer, so long as each chatzer independently was working just fine, each chatzer doesn't need the other chatzer, so lo tibaylach, then there's no suffix over here, because it's a kal v'chomer. Hash to tibaylu ruvim me'atmal matzu ma'arvi, amritein bitl rishus mechatzel chatzer, hacha tibaylu ruvim me'atmal lo matzu ma'arvi, lo kol shkein. In the case of two chatzeros that could have made an eruv between them, had they chosen to, on Erev Shabbos, and we still don't allow them to be mevatel rishus on Shabbos, over here, where Erev Shabbos, there was nothing they could do, because Erev Shabbos, there was a Rosh Hasharabim in between those two houses. So of course you're not going to be able to be Mevatel Rosh Hasharabim. You didn't even have the potential for an Eruv on Erev Shabbos. See, Shmuel said, if you didn't have the need for an Eruv on Erev Shabbos, you can't be Mevatel Rosh Hasharabim. For sure, if you don't even have the potential for an Eruv on Erev Shabbos, you can't be Mevatel Rosh Hasharabim. Kiti Baila, Chalib Demand Yamar, Yesh Betel Rosh Hasharabim, Mechatzel Chatzar. A whole Shaila is according to the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that one chatzar can be mevatel rishus to another chatzar, even though they don't aser on each other, even though each one could have functioned independently. So do we say hasam dibay leruvim me'atmal matzuma arvi? So betulei nami matzim mevatel. Do we say yeah, that's over there where at least they could have made an eruv? They didn't have to, but they could have made an eruv with each other, so they could also be mevatel rishus right now. Aval hacha t'lo matzim arvi me'atmal. But in our case that we're describing of the two houses on the two sides of Rosh Hashanah, they could not have made an eruv and Erev Shabbos because there was a Shusharim right between them. Betulin Ami lo matim vatel, so they shouldn't be able to vatel Roshos either. Or maybe there's no chiluk. And just like members of one chatzar could be vatel Roshos to another chatzar, even though they don't aser on each other, they're two chatzars that are side by side that each have an entrance into Rosh Hashanah, so they don't aser on each other. So too over here, the members of one house could be vatel Roshos to the other house, even though when Shabbos started, they didn't have they did not even have the potential for an Erev. Because just like Bittul is not totally on whether they aser on each other, Bittul is also not totally on whether they had the potential for an Erev with each other. Meaning just how far off from Shmuel's position does Rabbi Yochanan go? Certainly Rabbi Yochanan does not require that they aser on each other, that they require an Erev with each other. But does he at least make it that you have that in order to do Bittul Roshos that they had the potential for an Erev? Or does he say no, it's totally irrelevant that they could be Mevatel Roshos even if they have no Shaychus to an Erev? So Amalei ain Mevatel. So if Shesha said to Rav Chista, the members of the house households cannot be mevatel to each other because they could not make an Erev with each other on Erev Shabbos. Even Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that you could be mevatel in a place where they don't aser on each other, says that you at least require that they have the potential to make an Erev with each other. So that was Shaila number one and discussion number one. Now Rav Chista asks another Shaila to Rav Sheshes. The basic background is we had previous sugyas in yesterday's daf and the day before. We had a machlokas amoraim where the Jewish members of a chatzar make an Erev on Erev Shabbos like they're supposed to, and then in the middle of Shabbos, a Nachri resident shows up and he's mevatel their Erev. So with the Shaila we raised was, can you do a Schiras Roshos from the Nachri on Shabbos, and then, even though that blew up their Erev when the Nachri showed up, and then be Mevatel Roshos to each other. So if you recall, Rabbi Yochanan said, yeah, you could do a Schiras Roshos, and then be Mevatel, the Bnei Chatzar could be Mevatel Roshos to each other, and that way the Bnei Chatzar will be able to use the Chatzar. And Shmuel says, no, Schiras Roshos from a guy who shows up in the middle of Shabbos is not going to help, because even if you'll do the Schiras, it's not going to help the Bnei Chatzar to be Mevatel Roshos, because their Erev doesn't work. So if their Erev doesn't work, there's not going to be a Bittul Roshos that works. So now Rav Chista says, okay, let's assume it's not a Nachri that shows up on Shabbos. You had a Nachri that was already in the Chatzar when Shabbos started. But they didn't do a Schiras Roshos and they didn't make an Erev. So Meis Nachri b'Shabbos, Mahu. But then the Nachri disappears. He dies on Shabbos. So now he's not going to ask him. Now you don't need a Schiras Roshos anymore. Can you now do a Bittul Roshos? You don't have an Erev, but can you do a Bittul Roshos with each other? So I'll leave it. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, who said that in the case where the Nachri shows up in middle of Shabbos, that you could do a Schiras Roshos followed by a Bittul Roshos, then there's no Shaila that over here you could do a Bittul Roshos, because Hashta Tarti Avdinan, if he even allows a two-step solution where you do a Schiras followed by a Bittul, so Chadami Bai, so to do a one-step solution where all you need to do is a Bittul, of course that's going to be Mutter. El Kiti Bailach, the whole Shaila is, Aliba demand Yomer Ein Sochrin. If you assume like the Shita of Shmuel that you can't do a Schiras Roshos followed by a Bittul Roshos when the Goy shows up in middle of Shabbos, when the Nachri arrives in middle of Shabbos, and therefore we have a Safek that it could be that Bittul doesn't work because Tarti Hudala Avdinan Hachada Avdinan, that we're not going to allow a two-step process but a one-step process where all you need to do is Bittul because the Nachri is no longer here, so maybe that would be fine Odilba Loshna, or maybe it doesn't make a difference. And over here also you can't do a Bittul Roshos on Shabbos because when Shabbos started, an Eruv could not have worked. Meaning when Shabbos started, there was a Nachri living there. And when there's a Nachri living there that you haven't done Schiras Roshos from, you can't do an Eruv. So there was no potential for an Eruv as things stood on Erev Shabbos. So even though as things are right now, you could have made an Eruv, but the Nachri was alive on Erev Shabbos. So the only way you could have made the Erev on Erev Shabbos was if you would have been Socher Roshos, and you didn't. So Amalei, Ani Omer Mevatlin, and Vahamnuna Omer Ein Mevatlin. So Rav Sheshes said to Rav Chista, I hold you could be Mevatel Roshos to each other in order to use the Chatzar, and it's not like a Nachri that shows up in the middle of Shabbos, because over here you could have they could have made the Erev on Erev Shabbos had they just been Socher the Roshos from the Nachri on Erev Shabbos. They would have been able to use the Chatzar. Whereas in the case where the Nachri showed up in the middle of Shabbos, Shabbos, they did make an Erev and Erev Shabbos, and it didn't work. The Erev got blown up by the Nachri showing up. But over here in our case, had they just done it right, had they just made the Erev and Erev Shabbos, it would have worked. And therefore, they can do a Bittul Rishus. But Hamnuna says, Ein Mevatlin. Since an Erev alone would not have been Matir the Chatzer when Shabbos started, because there was a guy that lived there also, so they would have required a Schir Rishus as well. So whenever an Erev alone would not have sufficed, we're not going to allow just for a Bittul Rishus in the middle of Shabbos. It's interesting, he refers to him as Hamnuna. He doesn't give him Smi. He doesn't give or not even smicha. He doesn't call him Rav Hamnuna. He doesn't give him the kavod of calling him Rav Hamnuna. So the indication is the Achronim point out is that he must have been a chaver of theirs. He must have Rav Sheshes, Rav Chissa, and Rav Hamnuna must have all been in the same generation. The problem is in the Divrei Nechemia in the back of the Gemara, he points out that Tosfos in Samach Gimel Amud Aleph writes that Rav Hamnuna was a talmud of Rav Chista. So it sounds like over here it sounds like he was a bar plukta of theirs. So he says, maybe over here we're talking about Rav Hamnuna Rishon, who is a Talmud of Rav, so that there were multiple Rav Hamnunas. Okay, so now, says the Gemara, so that's the end of that conversation with Rav Chista and Rav Sheshes about Bittul Rishus. So now we move on to a different topic, the topic of what if a Nachri has a house that opens up into your Mavoi, but he also there's also another doorway that his house opens up into. Do we say that we don't have to deal with Schirus Rishus from this Nachri because maybe his Iker doorway is elsewhere? It's not really within this Mavoi. So I'm Rav Yehuda Shmuel. Nachri Sheish Lo Pesach. If a Nachri has an entrance in his house, aside from the Pesach that opens up into your chatzar, your mavoi, so arba, he has another Pesach that's 4x4 tvachim, pasuach lebika, that opens up into an open field. So afilu machnas emotzi gemalim ukronos kol yom kulo derech mavoi, even if he's schlepping heavy and large things like camels and wagons all day long through the large Pesach that opens up into your chatzar and your mavoi, ain osar al b'nei mavoi, he's not going to ask on the b'nei mavoi. My taima bepischa demiachet debahu nichalei, the Pesach, that additional Pesach that's only his, that doesn't belong to anyone else, that's the Pesach that he prefers over the Pesach that goes into the Chatzar, which is shared by many people, and into the Mavoi, which is shared by many people. He's got this private Pesach that goes out into a Bika, that's his primary Pesach, that's the way we're going to view it. So that's what Rabbi Dom Shmuel says if he has this additional Pesach. So that's the Prisha points out in his commentary on the Torah in Siman Shin Pei Tes that notice we're highly specific when we discuss what he uses the doorway for. I mean, what he uses the doorway to the chatzar for. So we're saying that even if he's machnas emotzi gemalim and kronos kol yom kulo, why are we talking about gemalim and kronos? So the Prisha says that we're talking about he uses large. He takes very large things through the Mavoi, because we describe the Pesach that goes out into the Bika as Arba'a al Arba'a, as a tiny little Pesach, and so he can't use it to carry large things. So just like it's Maduyah from Lashon the Gemara, that he's Motzi Gemalim Ukronos, sounds like very large Kelim, but the smaller Kelim, it sounds like, he's Motzi through the other Pesach in the Bika, and that's why it's considered that that's his primary Pesach, that it's only the Gemalim and Kronos that he carries into the Pesach, the shared Pesach, the Pesach into the Chatzar and the Mavoi. But whenever he can help it, whenever he can use his other Pesach, he prefers to use his other Pesach, says the Prisha. And that's why that becomes his Iker Pesach. The Maimon Mordechai says the exact opposite. That the Chiddush of the Gemara is that even if all day long he's using the Pesach and the Mavoi and the Chatzar for major things, it's not like this is some secondary entranceway that he has, the entranceway that he shares with us. The entranceway that he shares with us is what he uses primarily for big stuff, for noticeable stuff. Still, it's only a secondary Chatzar. So whereas the Prisha views the fact that we're talking about Gemalim and Kronos as the exact reason that the other Pesach is the primary Pesach and not this one, the Maimon Mordechai says no, it's a greater Chiddush. It's even though he's using the Pesach in the Chatzar and the Mavoi for the big stuff, even so, it's still the Pesach in the Mavoi and the Chatzar is not going to be the primary Pesach. Nishmas Adam and Chayadam, he writes that from all the poskim, from the fact that they don't mention any of this, they don't mention any of these details. So from all the poskim, it sounds like even if he's motzi always everything through the mavoi, and he never really uses the Pesach in the Bika, still we view the Pesach in the mavoi as the Iker Pesach. That's so it seems like the diuk is not made like the Prisha from the poskim. Okay, so now says Gemara, Ibayulahu. But what about the following? What if he doesn't have a Pesach that goes out into a Bika, but Pesach lekarpev mahu? He has a Pesach that goes out into a large enclosure, a large area enclosed by mechitzos. So do we say, even in such a case, his ikar tashmish is that Pesach and not the Pesach that goes into the mavoi? Or do we say, no, karpif is not really an open area like a bika is, and therefore it's not going to be his ikar tashmisho. The Pesach that's pesuch to the karpif can't be called his ikar tashmisho. The ikar tashmisho must be the Pesach of the mavoi. So Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami, mishmeidu ulpana, in the name of Ulpana, so that's a question in Rishonim. What does in the name of Ulpana mean? Rashi says it's a Lashon of Limud, that it's like from his Rebbe, who he learned from, that it's it's like Yalfinan, it's a Lashon of Limud. The Arzarua quotes from Rabbeinu Shmuel, they know that there was a Shem Chacham, there was someone called Ulpana. So we said, Mishmeid Ulpana, that afilu pesuch lekarpef, that even if we're dealing with a karpef, still the guy doesn't ask the Mavoi, because the karpef is, even though the karpef is not as wide as a bika, but nevertheless it's wider than the mavoi, and we assume that's his ikar ishtamshus. Rabbi Rav Yosef Tam Tarvayu Nachri Beis Hasayim Oser Yosim Beis Hasayim Eino Oser, that if it's a Nachri and the karpif is the size of a Beis Hasayim or less, then he asers on the rest of the Bnei Mavoi. We assume his ikar Pesach is the Pesach into the mavoi. But if the area that his other doorway opens up into is a karpif that's larger than Beis Hasayim, then we assume that's his ikar Pesach, and therefore he doesn't ask on the Bnei Mavoi. But Yisrael, if you have a Jew that has a resident, a residence that opens up into the Mavoi, and also opens up into a Karpev, so Beis Hasayim Eino Oser. So with the Jew, it's going to be just the opposite. If it's a Beis Hasayim or less that it opens up into, so we assume he doesn't ask, that's his primary entranceway. But Yoser Mi Beis Hasayim Oser. But if it opens up into a larger area of a Yoser Mi Beis Hasayim, then we assume he's primarily interested in his doorway into the Mavoi in the Chatzar, and he's going to ask in the other Bnei Mavoi in the Chatzar. Why would that be the case by a Jew? Why would it be different than by a Nachri? Because by a Jew, if it's a Beis Hasayim, he's not going to ask the Mavoi if he doesn't join in the Shituf, because he doesn't need to bring large things to his house on Shabbos. So he's perfectly happy with a small Karpev. So even though it's a very small Karpev, it's not more than the Beis Hasayim, he's very happy to use that, and more happy to use that than he is the Mavoi. So that becomes his Iker Pesach. And if it's larger than Beis Hasayim, where it has the din of a Carmelis, so then he has no interest in that Karpif, because he's a Jew. He's not allowed to carry into a Carmelis. So he'd much rather be by the Rishus HaYachid, by the Chatzar and the Mavoi, which is a Rishus HaYachid. And therefore, he's going to Aser in such a case. What's the din if you have an additional Pesach from the house of the guy that's opened up into a karpef? Meaning, we learned from review that when you have a guy has an additional entranceway into a bika, he doesn't ask for the Bnei Mavli. What if it opens up into a karpef? So Amalei, Hare Amru, Beis Hasayim Oser, Yosim Beis Hasayim Eino Oser. We just went through this. The Chum said that it depends. How large of a karpef is it? If it's a Beis Hasayim or less, then he's not really so pleased about using that area, and he's not going to be misalik himself from the Mavoi. He's really a resident of that Mavoi, and therefore he's going to ask on the rest of the Bnei Mavoi. But if it's larger than Beis Hasayim, then that becomes his ikar. That becomes what he's most interested in using, and therefore he's not going to ask. So now the Gemara discusses, okay, what is the status of a karpef? Once we raise the issue, what is the halachic status of a karpef? Meaning, we know in Shabbos we have a din of Rosh Hashanah, we have a din of Rosh Hashanah, and we have a din of a Carmelis midrabbanan. That midrabbanan, we treat a Carmelis with the chumras of Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. So Amar Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, karpif yosim beis hasayim shalohukav ledira. Let's say you have a large area that's enclosed by mechitzos, but not for the sake of dira, and it's very large. It's bigger than beis hasayim. Afilu korayim. Even if it's one kor or it's two kor, it's very very large. Still minatora to Rosh Hashanah because it's surrounded by mechitzos. So zorik letocho chayiv. If you throw from Rosh Hashanah into that enclosure, you're going to be chayiv, because on a daraisa level, it's Rosh Hashanah. My time, mechitzi, elish mechaseres diurin. Because you have to remember what it is on a daraisa level. And it has mechitzos, so on a daraisa level, it's Rosh Hashanah. It's just that midrabbanon, we treat it with certain chumras of Rosh Hashanah, because there's no residence in there. There's no one that lives in there. It's not hukaf ledira. So that's why we give it the chumra of a caramelist. Masav Rav Huna Bar Chinna, so Rav Huna Bar Chinna challenges sela shabiyam. If you have a sela that's in the middle of the ocean, and the gavoa asara, and the sela, the rock, protrudes six at least 10 tfachim above the surface of the sea, v'rachav arba'a, and it's 4 tfachim wide. So we'd say Rishus HaYachid, it's an island that's a Rishus HaYachid. So ein metalten lo mitocho liyam, v'lo min yam l'tocho. The yam is a carmel, so you're not allowed to carry from the yam to the sela, nor from the sela to the yam, because it's Rishus HaYachid. Pachos mikan, but if it's less than 10 tfachim high, metaltelin, then you are allowed to be metaltel from the cellar to the yam and from the yam to the cellar, because the cellar is also a carmelis. So you're allowed to be metaltel from one to the other. Ad kama, until what width do we assume that the cellar can be, how broad can it be, where this halacha is going to be true, which halacha we'll say in a moment, whether it's the first halacha or the second halacha, ad beis asayim, up until it's beis asayim. So hey, this last comment of up until beis asayim, but if it's more than Beis HaSayim, then the halacha changes. Which of the two halachas that you just mentioned is that going on? We mentioned the halacha where the sela is more than 10 tefachim high, and where the sela is less than 10 tefachim high. If it was more than 10 tefachim high, it's Rosh Hashiach, and if it's less than 10 tefachim high, it's a carmelis. So ilema seifa, if you say that we're going on the seifa, that the sela is less than 10 tefachim high, so you're allowed to be metalta from the sela to the yam, and from the yam to the sela. So is that where the Brisa says that Beis HaSayim would metalta linan, that only up until Beis HaSayim, you could be metaltel from the cellar to the yam, and vice versa, tfei lo, but if it's more than Beis HaSayim, you can't, vami karmelis or karmelis, come metaltel. But if the cellar is a karmelis also, because if it's less than 10 tefachim high, then I don't care how wide it is, it's always going to be a karmelis. You're allowed to carry from one karmelis to the other, so what would be the problem? I don't care how big it is. Elalav ha-reshan, well, no, we must be going on the case where it's 10 tefachim above the surface of the sea. V'ahachi ka'amar, cellar shabiyam gavoa asar v'rochav arba'a. You have a cellar that's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. Ein metaltelin b'tocho liyam lo minayam l'tocho. You're not allowed to carry from there into the yam, because the yam is a carmelis, the cellar is a rishus yachid, so you can't carry from one to the other. V'yad kama ad beis asayim. But that's only up until the size of a beis asayim. Hayosem mi beis asayim metaltelin. And the diak, therefore, is that if it's more than a beis asayim, then you can be metalta from there to the yam. Why? Why, when it's more than a beis asayim, can you be metalta from there to the yam? Alma, carmelisi. So you see that it has a din of a carmelis. That once it's more than Beis HaSayim, it has a full din of, not just a din of a carmelis l'chumra, a full din of a carmelis, even l'kula, that we say it's not even a Rosh HaSayachan at all. And therefore you're allowed to be metaltel from there to another carmelis. So it's Yuftan Rabbi Yochanan, that's a Yuftan Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said that a karpef that's surrounded by mechitzos that are not l'shem dira, even if it's larger than a Beis HaSayim, on a doraisa level, is still a Rosh HaSayachan, Rabbi Yochanan had said. Now we're saying over here that this sela, even on a daraisa level, only has a din of a carmelis, does not have a din of a Rosh HaSayachid, which would mean on a daraisa level it's really a makom patur. So Amarava mandel yada trutzim. So there are two answers to this, two ways to defend Rabbi Yochanan. Number one, says Rava, first he can't believe that you'd ask a kasha from such a brisa. He says mandel yada trutzim esniyasa tiyufta mosav lada Rabbi Yochanan. I don't understand how someone who doesn't know how to read a brisa is going to ask a tiyufta on Rabbi Yochanan. Who do you think you are? You could ask a tiyufta like this on Rabbi Yochanan. Liola maresha. Really, it's going on the case of the Resha, that the Sela is 10 Tefachim high. But we're not talking about that which is explicit in this Braisa. The Braisa is trying to qualify a diuk that you can make from the Resha. V'hachi kamar, this is what the Braisa is telling me, that the Resha says that if the Sela is 10 Tefachim high and 4x4 Tefachim wide, okay, now you can't carry from it to the Yam, or from the Yam to it, because it's a Rosh HaSayachid. But within it you can be metaltel. That's the diuk you're supposed to make, and that halach is only true up until Beis HaSayim. Once it's more than Beis HaSayim, it's a karmelis, you have to be machmir. A second answer of Ashi Amar Liola Maresha, that really we're going on the Resha like we said, but Heinamru Veheinamru, the Rabbanan had to balance two different dinim de Rabbanan, and they had to be fearful that if they're machmir on one, then the other din de Rabbanan is going to fall by the wayside. How so? They're the ones that said that if you have a carpet that's larger than Beis HaSayim, you have to treat it like a carmelis. You can't carry within it El Barba Amos. You're not allowed to carry more than Dalet Amos within it. They're also the ones that said you can't carry from Rosh Hashanah to a carmelis. So Beis HaSayim, Deshoyle Tatuli Bekule, Asira Banala Tatuli. So when it's Beis HaSayim or less, where you're not allowed to carry throughout the whole thing, the Rabbanan say you're not allowed to carry, Lomina Yam Lutochov, Lomi Tochal Yam. You're not allowed to carry from there to Carmelis. So my time Rosh Hashanah Gemuri, because it has a full status of Rosh Hashanah. But yes, Ami Beis HaSayim, Dasala Tatuli Bekule. But if it's larger than Beis HaSayim, where you're not even allowed to carry Dalet Amos within it, Shar Rabbanan Lutatuli Mitochal Yam, and Yam Lutochov, the Rabbanan had to be Makil to carry from there to the Yam or from the Yam to it. My time, because if they're not Makil on that, Dilma Ami Rosh Hashanah Gemuri, people might think it's a real full-fledged Rosh Hashanah, and therefore Vasil Tatul Bekule, and they're going to come to carry throughout the entirety of things. So because they wanted to make sure that their din, that it's a Karmelis, that you're not allowed to carry more than Dalet Amos within it, stands, they had to make sure no one gets the impression that it's a Rosh Hashanah, and therefore they allowed carrying from the Yam to it. Umayishna, why do they choose that din drabban over the other din drabban? Why is the one with of carrying more than Dalet Amos within the Karmelis more important? Because tocho shchiach mitocho liyam and liyam l'tocho lo shchiach. It's much more common that people are going to want to carry within it than that people would want to carry from the yam to it or from it to the yam. So therefore, they were more interested in protecting the din of carrying no more than Dalet Amos within the sela because it has a din of a Karmelis. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the sugya of ishtapa chamim. Thank you.